football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 3 of the 2026 CBFA podcast, week 2. As always, Cole Fortner, this time without my co-host, James, but we have a fantastic special guest of Scott Deusing here with me. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great, Cole. Thanks for having me. It's been a fun couple of weeks of phantom football season that we get to recap, so been an exciting start to the year for sure.
It really has been, and it's definitely been an interesting one with some potential controversies. I know some teams aren't overly happy about the current situation of how last week's games went, but unfortunately there's not too much we can do on that note, other than really just recap how the games went during week 2. I guess we'll start off in order. I know that leaves you sitting there for a little bit as I recap a couple of the earlier games. But yeah, the first game of the day opened up with the Lions taking on the Bulldogs. And the Bulldogs looked rather different in week 2 than they did in week 1 when they played the Mavericks. And the Stampeders, sorry, the Lions were able to bounce back from their week against the Stampeders. It was the game between the Lions and the Bulldogs was all Lions. They had a fumble recovery on the first play of the game on the offense, or for the Bulldogs offense, and it was basically just set the tone for the game. They're rushing touchdowns, passing touchdowns, left, right, and center. Their main go-tos were Bryson Barden and
I got to see them in week 1, and I know you guys mentioned it. Bryson Barden was a big part of that offense. So was Hunter Riley as well. He was really, they both were probably the two biggest threats for the quarterback there. I can forget the quarterback's name right off the top of my head. But, even in week 1, you guys kind of talked about the last week. It was kind of back and forth. The Lions started really well. There wasn't a lot of points going on, but they had a little bit of control. And then, just unfortunately, Stamps took over in the week 1, but you can tell Lions definitely have some skill out there in Cochrane, so I'm not surprised that they beat the Bulldogs, and I'm sure they'll make some more upsets this year as well. So
it definitely showed in that week 2 game, because they were just able to make things work extremely well against the Bulldogs, and it basically seemed like they could do no wrong, and that's why the scoreline ended up being so drastically what it was, ended up finishing 64 to no score in favor of the Lions. I know that game in particular has had some people messaging the league about parity and stuff and reworking the zones and borders and stuff, but we did that a couple of years ago, tried to reset the zones because we were having that issue with massively lopsided scores in the last couple of seasons. It did work. But unfortunately, it's not a perfect system, and teams are going to still see blowouts regardless of what we do, and we don't do a draft in the league. So no matter what we do, someone's going to be not happy about things.
Yeah, there's lots of things going on too. We'll get into it in some of the years. I'm seeing even on the sidelines, when I come to Shield Ice, there's still a handful of kids on every team that seem to be injured right now too. So injuries can add a lot to it as well.
Whether
it's a top kid or just depth, those little things happen at times. So kind of makes those scores worse than they are, right? And a little bit more lopsided. Hopefully it evens out as we get closer to playoffs like it usually does.
Yeah, hopefully. Players of the game, our Wolf Calgary players of the game for that game were Hunter Riley and Isaac DeSchultz.
Yeah, and Hunter Riley had a good game in game 1 versus Peters. Him and Bryce Barden were, I think, 1-2. They were very close. He's a big force at running back there. So, I see him being a big threat for the Lions all season.
Our second game of the day featured the Cowboys taking on the Rebel Chiefs. And, again, it was one of those ones where we weren't necessarily sure how it was going to go based off of the week 1 results. Because both teams got blown out in their openers.
Right.
And So it's kind of just like, okay, how are they actually going to fare up and match up against each other? And it was actually a decently close game. It ended up finishing 19-0 in favor of the Cowboys. But like, there wasn't really many scoring plays. Like, yeah, the Chiefs actually technically they opened up the scoring with an 85-yard punt block or a punt return touchdown, but it got called back for a touchdown. Touchdown got called back, which is unfortunate for them because it was a really nice return. But yeah, just an illegal block. Unfortunately, was the dagger in that, and that was the only time they saw the end zone. But even then, it was the Chiefs held their own. Like, they kept the Cowboys to a field goal in the first quarter. They only allowed one rushing touchdown in the second quarter, and they allowed a pass touchdown in the third quarter, and that was really it. So both teams played pretty well against each other.
Yeah, I got there kind of when it was already 19-0, but the thing that actually got me was the Rebel Chiefs were removing the ball. Their quarterback at the time is number 15, Caden Wells. And I remember him at Jamboree. I want to say he might have been with the Mavericks at Jamboree, but he looks to be with the Rebel Chiefs now. And that can happen, whether, you know, moved associations because they didn't make the Mavericks or whatnot. Not too sure of the whole story there. But I was actually really impressed with Caden's passing. He found he was really good in the pocket. He was very, you know, didn't panic. And he found several receivers for first downs. And from my understanding, talking to the directors on the sideline, he didn't start the game. So, you know, maybe it could have been a different result if he was in there as well, because I was really impressed with his play. So, hopefully something that they can build on for Al Cooper's team as they move into week three.
Yeah, Caden Williams was receiver for the Cowboys.
Was he? No, Caden Williams for the Rebels Chiefs. For Rebels Chiefs. Receiver, sorry.
He's a receiver for the Cowboys.
Oh, my, sorry, I had the wrong place. So whoever number 15 is then, so for the Rebels Chiefs, I forgot, I apologize, it's not Gabe Wills, he is with the Cowboys. Number 15 with the Rebels Chiefs was a great little quarterback.
That would be...
Hopefully after for next week.
That would be Finn Bones. Yeah.
Oh, Bones? Okay, right on.
Yeah.
He had a great game.
He did. He definitely did when he came in. Yeah. No, he definitely changed the pace for the Rebel Chiefs when he came into play. And yeah, it definitely showed, and like that program does have a lot to build on over the next few weeks. Our third game of the day was the one that you were able to cover.
For sure. Yeah, no, it's nice that they combined both the Rebels Chiefs teams this year. It's good that they got all the kids playing, but love the enthusiasm. Like, none of those kids quit the whole game. And I think they're going to upset some teams here as they get through the year for sure.
Our Wolf Cadillac Calgary players of the game for that one were Caden Williams for the Cowboys and then Owen Brett for the Rebel Chiefs.
Yeah, he was good. Owen Brett was on defense, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, he makes a big
game. Oh, no, sorry. He was, my bad. Sorry, he was running back.
Was he a running back?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I do remember it. The running back as well as one of their linebackers on the Rebels Chiefs were making some big plays. Owen Brett looks like a big running back behind there for Rebels Chiefs attack.
Yeah, I'm imagining that's going to be Brady Vanis that you're talking about, that linebacker. Yes. He won POG in week one as well. And yeah, he was doing everything again for them. Like, he's their return guy on specials. And he is definitely one of their top guys, and he was last year as well for that program.
Yeah, it's good, and it's good for the Cowboys. They have 1-1, getting a tie with the Lions, Colts, and Mavericks right now, kind of holding up that mid pack there, the league standings here early in the year.
Yeah, final score on that one: 19-0 for the Cowboys. Third game of the day: Stampeders versus Eagles. You want to take that one away?
Yeah, no, thanks. Again, I had the opportunity to call that one. And, you know, I kind of go back to listening to the episode one of this season, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go back to the preseason, go back to James and Cole's Good League outfit there at the start. It's on the CBFA website. You guys, both James and you talked about kind of rebound programs. And I want to say, like, the Stamps, when you look at last year, in the first 2 weeks, they were 0-2 and had a grand total of 3 points. And 58 points against. So far this year, the Stamps are 2-0 and now have 60 points for and 8 against. So that's definitely a 180 reversal. They got a great start to the year. You know, it was a back and forth quarter. It was 0-0 after one, but it was a lot of penalties in the first quarter. Both teams were trying to move the ball. Both the Eagles, they were really relying on their running back too, as well as you know, their quarterback of the day was Zane Zettner. He was looking at Parker Hill as a target. Tarik Thomas, he does everything for them. He was punting. He was doing kickoffs. But yeah, no. Team is feeling good so well that I think the coach Dave Hardy was so happy with the team. He gave them the special teams practice they typically do on Friday off. So nice little treat for the boys there as they get ready for week three here against the Rebel Chiefs. So,
I want to touch on that quickly. Sorry. It's a bit of a change going from freestyle skiing to football.
No doubt, hey, and he's a big kid. Jack Cat, he's a 2012, so he's second year. Big kid, and he's just an athlete, right? Which is great. It's great that you have athletes go from different sports, whether it's freestyle skiing, you know, baseball, football, whatnot, and get into football. So it's been a great addition. But, you know, I mentioned at the start, you know, as kind of when I went.
Yeah, no, and it's kind of a rough start for the Eagles, too, because they've had the Raiders and the Stampeders to start off the season, who are currently first and third in the standings. Yeah. So it's hard to really gauge where they are. And, you know, they do have a new head coach as well. So things are new and changing for that organization.
For sure. And for the Stampeders, you know, it's been a good start versus where they were last year. Definitely a rebound year. But the boys, at the start of the week, they wanted to get actually a shout out to their defensive coordinator, Matt Dawidowski. Coach Matt's, you know, out with some health challenges right now. So they're playing for him as well and sent him a nice video at practice last week. So Coach Matt, obviously everybody here on the podcast as well in the league, looking forward to seeing you on the sidelines too. So, I know there's no rather place for all these coaches would be than to be on the field at Shoulder Ice, whether it be Hellard, Stampeder, or Encana Field, for sure.
Yeah, and like Scott said, we definitely wish all the best for everyone and the coach. While you were covering that game, I was over on Encana Field doing the game between the Mavericks and the Raiders, and it wasn't, like, scoreline aside, it actually wasn't that bad of a game. Comparing what I saw between the Eagles and the Raiders versus the Mavericks and the Raiders in week two, the Mavericks did seem to hold their own a little bit better against the Raiders. They were actually into the Raider backfield a lot more than the Eagles were. I did hear after the fact that the Raiders were missing some of their O-line, which likely contributed to that. So, you know, it is a positive for the Mavericks. They do, you know, they can build on that. They can go, hey, you know, we probably get the most sacks against the Raiders this year. But, you know, there is that other note that, you know, half the Raiders line was missing, right? So it's, you know, it's not going to be up to par compared to what it usually is. But again, that game was pretty much all the Raiders. And again, they had that powerhouse, you know, draw between Wydelka and Hudson McLeod and Ethan Minority and Liam Fernandez, like so many offensive weapons that team can go to, just moving the ball around, you know, whether or not Hudson McLeod wants to pass or hand it off to his running back, you know, he can also just take off himself. And it's amazing to watch. It's just, you know, as watching it from the other team's perspective, it's like, and here he goes again.
Well, you know, and for the league as well, like, you know, now it's Hudson McClown. For the past 2 years before that, it was Davin Bacon-Babone, and he was a similar type quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? Could beat you with his feet, could beat you with his arm, and both are in the Football Alberta program, right? It just shows you the depth of that Raiders program and the great coaching that those kids get. You know, they obviously have a big draw zone there, but those coaches do well all the way from Pee Wee football with the Storm into the Raiders. So, yeah, they're going to be a tough out. I know at the start of the season with the voted them, it's going to be tough to eat, but it's kind of funny though too with them being 2-0 and the Stampeders 2-0. You know, if they're able to get wins, Raiders play the Colts in week 3, and Stampeders play Rebels Chiefs. We could have an early season big contest there in week 4 because those teams square off in Heller on September 12th.
I mean, and it wouldn't be the first time that those teams have been undefeated or near undefeated playing against each other. They were in 2024 as well. Forget what week they actually met. Yeah, they met up in week 8. No, sorry. Hold on, let me try to find it. They didn't play each other in the regular season, but they met in the first round of the playoffs.
That's a tough one right there.
Yeah, as the second and third seeds. But yeah, I think they both ended up having a loss heading into that game, and the Raiders ended up coming out on top of that one. But you know, it could set up for a similar situation where, you know, you're working late into the season, and it's like, hey, well, this is must win territory, and then you come against the other powerhouse.
Yeah, 100%, right? But and then, you know, I'm sure those guys on the west side of Calgary, the Wildcats, will have something to say about it as well. I know we're going to recap their game right away, but they're looking like a great little team this year as well. It also just shows you the depth. They have 2 teams as well, so it shows you the great work that program's doing on the west side of Calgary.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I don't want to take anything away from the Mavericks either. That program is one of the teams that has lower or fewer numbers compared to some of the other teams, like, as you mentioned, the Wildcats. But they have some star athletes on their team as well that they've been able to do stuff both offensively and defensively. Like Genesis Ariki on as their quarterback, you know, he's scrambling out of the pocket all the time, and he's able to find his receivers pretty consistently. You know, so it's, you know, the Mavericks, I wouldn't rule the Mavericks out really and truly. Like, they are a decent side.
100%. They had the big win in week 1. They got the Eagles this week coming up, so I'm sure they're hoping to get back on the win track. I'm sure the Eagles are going to push to try to get in the win column themselves. So, you know, they have the Eagles there, and then I think they play next is the Lions. So those are 2 big matchups back to back there coming through, right? So it's going to be a big keep an eye on. Actually, sorry, Mavericks do play the Colts afterwards,
yeah,
and then play the week 4 there is when they play the Lions. So those are winnable games for them, but it's going to be a good contest because I think all those teams are very good. So should be some good action there in Heller for us to call their call.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so score update or scores for that final game, or that game between the Raiders and the Mavericks, was 50-5-0-2-6. 2 touchdowns in each quarter in that game. Players of the game, or Wolf Cadillac Calgary players of the game, were Bentley Shattenkirk from the Raiders, and then Genesis Ariki, from the Mavericks. End up getting those honors for that game. Our final game of the day featured the Wildcats taking on the Colts. And again, it was kind of a game where we weren't necessarily sure how it was going to go, because both of those teams opened up week 1 with lopsided games. Seem to have misplaced my notes on that game, actually. Hold on. But it ended up being...
Wildcats beat the Cowboys 42-8 in the first game of the season. And then the Colts had a big win, 52-14, against the Rebels Chiefs. So,
yeah,
two big wins probably gave both teams a lot of, confidence going into week 2. And the Wildcats kept at it. But, you know, Colts, you know, no disrespect to the Rebels Chiefs. You know, they got a young program. They're doing some good things. But the Wildcats are a much different team than the Rebels Chiefs this year.
Yeah, well, and they definitely are, and it showed that game and sorry, I've lost my train of thought there. The Colts and the Wildcats were scoreless through the first quarter, and actually it was the Wildcats opened up the scoring like right as the second quarter started, with a 43-yard pass. But like they absolutely blew apart the Cowboys in the air in week one, especially scoring touchdowns. But they didn't really do that as much against the Colts. They only actually had two passing touchdowns in the game, and both were in the second quarter. But no, compared to what the Mavericks, or sorry, compared to what the Wildcats saw, especially in week one, like that game was a lot more evenly matched against the Colts, despite the scoreline. They did have a pair of rushing touchdowns after their opening passing touchdown before they scored their second. The Colts ended up getting a passing or rushing touchdown there. They each exchanged rushing touchdowns before the Wildcats scored another passing touchdown. Then there was a forced fumble that led. There was a forced fumble that led to a touchdown somewhere in there as well, if I remember correctly. But yeah, no, in the second half, the Colts kind of just disappeared a little bit, especially on the scoreboard. Final score on that one ended up being 38-8 in favor of the Wildcats.
Yeah, it's a little tough for kids this age still at bats, right? When, you know, it's whether it's second half, you know, third quarter going to the first, if it's still a little lopsided, sometimes the motivation for those 14, 15-year-olds goes away a little bit. So might have been there, but I'm sure the coaching staff will get that. I had the opportunity to see the Colts in the Jamboree, and they definitely got some weapons this year, too. Got some big players both on offense and defense, and, I would say they're going to have a good year as well as the Wildcats, I'm sure. The Colts, you know, coming into week three here. Looking at the schedule, I believe.
I just hold up on that, right?
The Raiders in week four. What do they? They play the Raiders actually this weekend, so that's.
Hold on. We'll touch on that in a minute.
Okay.
Sorry, where there's other information that I need to add prior to. That part. Wolf Cadillac Calgary players of the game for that game were from the Colts, number 31, Treason Pothoff, and then from the Wildcats, number 30, Jack Thompson. You were just talking about the schedule for week two. We have had some updates and confirmations in the last 10 minutes or so since we started recording. Two teams have actually issued forfeit notifications for this week. Which means we are no longer playing two games this week.
Who's that?
The first one is the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs have forfeited their game, so we no longer have a Thursday night game. That game against the Cowboys will not be happening on Thursday night.
Thursday. Yeah, they were playing the Cowboys.
Yeah. And then the second game is the Colts actually have issued a forfeit notification, so they will not be playing their game against the Raiders.
Oh, okay.
Those have been developing since this morning. We've only really just had confirmation in the last few minutes as of time of recording. So that's all pretty new.
Now, I know in rugby, when you forfeit, you give it's four tries, it's a 20-0 score. What do you know? Is it just an automatic score that a team gets? Would it be like a touchdown or two touchdowns, or how do they usually?
CBFA policy for the longest time has actually been a 1-0 win.
1-0 win.
Yep.
Now, does that come back into, has that ever come back into points for an against differential in the end? Because, you know, for a team, like, especially the Raiders, they can put up a lot of points. They've done it so far this season, right?
Well, that's the thing, though, is points four is not a tiebreaker in the CBFA.
Okay.
First tiebreaker is head-to-head. Second tiebreaker is points against. So,
there you go.
So in a way,
it's perfect, right?
In a way, it benefits the team that forfeits because they only have 1 point against.
Correct.
But they are also automatically taking a loss, and that could lower them in the standings.
100%. Whether they get into that Div 1 playoffs or Div 2 or Div 3, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But no, because that second tiebreaker, the outside of the head-to-head matchup is points against, that goose egg on the score benefit the teams that don't have to play those games. Yes, we know the kids would rather play, the athletes would rather play. We did reach out to both head coaches of the Raiders and Cowboys to see if they would possibly want to play like an exhibition game just to get their kids another game. But neither coach wants to do that. So that's four teams that will be without action this weekend, and we'll only have three games this weekend.
Will that change the game times by chance of the ones on Saturday, or will they just keep on the schedule as they are now?
Not confirmed yet. We are currently discussing that as of time of recording. So those listeners that listen to this in like 2 or 3 days from now, as of time of recording, we are not sure if it's moving up. As of time of recording, we're not sure if it's moving up or not. There's only one game that would be moved up schedule wise, if that is the case. Looking at the rest of the games, 8:30 Rebel Chiefs taking on the Stampeders. Following that one, 10:45 is the Eagles taking on the Mavericks.
Yeah, I'll be at Hillard nice and early on Saturday.
And then as of right now, the only game that could potentially move, which is currently at 3:15, is the Wildcats and the Lions.
I think those are going to be three great games still. Like, unfortunately, we have four teams without action, but those six teams playing, I think you're going to see some good fall ball games this Labor Day weekend, right? So, Eagle, we've already talked at length about the Eagles and Mavericks, and, you know, Lions and Wildcats as well. And, you know, I'm excited to watch the Stampeders again versus the Rebels Chiefs. Should be three big games on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Rebel Chiefs will actually be able to come and, you know, punch the Stampeders in the nose a little bit, just to, you know, not, you know, nothing against the Stampeders organization or anything, but no, just to kind of say, like, hello to the league, like, hey, we're here, we're not just going to be a rollover team.
100%, no, it's good, and they shouldn't be, because I think they were showing that versus the Cowboys on Saturday, right? Like, they weren't bending, it was only a 19-0 score, like, they're there, they could have had some opportunities, so... they're a team to watch, I think, as we continue through the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, no, and you know, you're definitely not wrong. It's going to be interesting to where they can end up. As for other things around the league, I'm not too sure what else is happening. You know, Gordy's food fight coming up over Thanksgiving long weekend as the usual. Other than that, I don't think anything's really changed too much apart from the two forfeitures.
And we did have a 50-50 winner.
Yes.
The next 50-50 will start this September, right? Which is for two Grey Cup tickets. Do I have that right?
You do. Yes.
All right.
Mary is not going to be here, so it's going to you have to scan a QR code that will be posted around Shoals Athletic Park. So nobody will be going through the stands for the next couple weeks. But yes, we are...
Saturday?
Two 50-50 ticket, or yeah, one 50-50 ticket winner will win two tickets to the Grey Cup in November. So definitely some incentive to purchase those 50-50 tickets. Unfortunately, I can't. I would love to go to the Grey Cup, but as a director, I'm not allowed to. Scott, I believe you can.
I'm not a director, so I can't put in my 50-50 name for sure, and I definitely will, because although this won't get a lot of love on a Calgary podcast, there's a good chance my favorite CFL team from that province just east of us could be there to try to go back to back. So that's what all of you are hoping for there, Cole.
I mean, you never know. We could have the what I'm banking on is the crossover. It's the
I would
love to see a Ryder Stampeders Grey Cup final.
that would be insane. The games are already 50-50 for fans at the same, and I think it would be one of the funnest atmospheres you could ever imagine at a football game.
Oh, it'd be insane. It'd be absolutely insane.
Now, speaking of which, I know it's on CBFA, but do you have a Labor Day game on Monday prediction?
Yeah, I think the Stamps might take it. Against the Elks.
You know, Elks have had a good year. It's been a good rebound there, but it's late. But it's Labor Day Monday, right? Like, it's all, it's usually always favors the home team. So I'm going to say the Stamps by three in that one. I'm not too sure. I don't want to pick a score, but I'm going to say the Stamps are going to take it.
Well, it's not even the fact that it's Labor Day Monday, too. It's like, it's known here that that's, you could go 1-17 that entire season. As long as that one win is Labor Day Monday, fans will be happy. Mm-hmm. It's a winning season.
Agree.
As long as you win Labor Day Monday, it's a winning season.
You know, for all... you know, I'm sure hopefully all these young folks can support the Stamps. Go watch some football. It's great that these young men and ladies are playing football, but go and watch some football as well. You develop a good love of the game going to watch some, a great game, especially on a Labor Day Monday.
If you can still buy tickets. I'm not sure how sold out they are. I've not watched it at home.
Yeah, there's lots of different ones. Definitely, exactly. Yeah, try to get there for sure. Hopefully it is a sellout. That's good for everybody.
Yeah. Well, with that, we'll see everybody down. Well, most of everybody, I guess, down at Scholdice on Saturday. Yeah, just unfortunate news with the forfeitures, but things happen, and yeah. I think that kind of wraps up everything for this week.
For the year as well, right?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. No.
Yeah, hopefully it's the last ones for the season, right? So yeah. Fingers crossed for that.
Yeah. With that, nothing really else much else to say other than go football and yeah, wrap it up there. Thanks, Scott.
You betcha. Thanks for having me again, Cole. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by our longtime Players of the Game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Automotive Group. Find them online at wolfcalgary.com or stop by their showroom at 768 100 First Street, Southwest Calgary. We would also like to thank Kodiak Sports and Apparel and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their support. Youth sports rely on corporate donations such as theirs in order to continue to provide safe spaces for kids to play and be their best. Thank you very much for listening.